limit anu wisi gasi. Binga swing root inuit, heni gai kau bank ma. Mako wal to two people. Mako suri middle type people and minority group. Minority group mako nak kimang chot inupet. Nak kiluting sulani luisut aglau dilu kap siniu bukiun nak kirung ta na aglau ting sulani luisut nagling nak dongur naga sulitamat kuning angai ka ka sul mara mo kini nak du bukwa kemar angai ka krangi iling ite kalung ne aming naga iling ite kalung ne aming panek te shaming nik ukimi monak rum khawan ting me ane aming lai sinait pada iling isa isak ti sip pin na sigait after 1991 dan nau si sumi time sulle tok sok pase kadit kolusi kayu mausi ubagut kisani katau sin naota sulavut inu ikavut hadau sin naota hinek talwi inek sok tale gap ta kisani tamat ko sape ga uti kisiate ut hadu ilavut inu beak beak nak pengami kanoktun tamat kuningun nin nak kesu lolok tamat kununga agul liau di minak si bluting tamat kua tatit katahu wait inu wek tut kima kua dan na hosi ilipsi tamat kua inek tek pasi na laga galu ibi maisi ima na asin katit kupsi inek tek usia di kakasi luwe na kua ain kupku inek tek padin tamat kua negoin ko adoh main kadit pada asin kharasil lu tamat kunung asin ubut khulare lu wonne debrei hoyan
this Liz Swanson from Koyu. This is my first meeting attendance in this kind of meeting. I agree with Fred 100% in everything he said, especially about God, because God gave us this earth for us to live on. It is rich in everything. All we have to do is be willing to gather what we always put away like berries or fish, dry fish, and when our hunters hunt, don't waste anything, clean them and put them away and use them, everything you can use. When we were young, I'm real sad that our men, especially at Koi, didn't go to school. There was a school built in 1927. That was our school, first building they built up there. Before that, even in winter, we used to travel everywhere. I remember when I first went to school up at Haycock, just for 1 month when I was 12 years old. That was the first time I went to school. Even we didn't go to school, we had fathers and mothers, especially our dads, teach us what they know, what they learn from people that, especially those missionaries that came up to teach them what right way to live. And as we were growing up, I remember at Koi when we were very young children, people didn't they didn't lock their houses. There was no kids like there are so many right now that we can't leave our go to store or church or something. If no one is home, we have to lock our doors because there's kids that try to break in sometimes. Those days, people in springtime or summertime when it get warm, they'll pitch a tent up on the beach and no one bothered them. The kids were ruled by their parents and they minded. They just didn't try to destroy other people's things. And these allotments now they have seem like myself, I don't have any. So I never think much of them because some of them are already making bad feelings over them. I think of this when I hear about that. God gave us that, this land, and made it rich so we could go anywhere to gather anything, berries. Wherever we go, nobody bother us. They never tell us, this you can go to because it's mine. They didn't have that in their mind. They got along real good. Now it's kind of, I don't know, you have to think a little bit when you're going there. I'm so sorry that young people like Charlie Henry, when they were young, they didn't go to school. There's another man about his age, Charlie Atmick, and a few others. My brother, he died. Maybe if they went to school, they'd be strong leaders now. I'm so glad some of these younger ones learned what these older ones didn't learn. I was thinking what to say, many things, but seemed like I forgot what to say, but I'm real glad to be here seeing all these people that came for meeting. And I hope that they understand every right way to say. So when 1991 comes around, what we are thinking won't be the way we expected. I hope that we'll keep living on the way we want to. I thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Maybe I wonder if we could take a little 5-minute stretch and then we'll start again. We've got a speaker here, folks, so we better all sit down and
oops. Judge Berger, my name is Richard Nussock from Koyuk. I represent no organization or group, and these are my views of the ANSC Act of 1971. Ever since this hearing started yesterday, I learned more of the ANSC Act of 1971 than I did in the 13 years of its existence. And frankly, I think we're going to hell on a sled, and that sled is ANSC Act of 1971. The Act definitely, without question, must be amended where necessary. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm glad to be here with you people here and from other places, ladies whom I know, I met from up north and Unakleet. I'm glad to be here with you guys about our land. My name is Christine Steve from Stebbins. I'm retired from post office. I served as a postmaster for 25 years, and I belong to IRE, I'm a member, and Stebbins Corporation, I'm a member too, and DAPOC,
And I want to share this land with my people here as I was growing up, how I saw from the beginning, ever since I was a little girl, my father was down at the canal. He had a house over there when I was a little girl. And I see how people were helping each other at that time. My father had a house over there. Everybody that comes from other places, like Nunivak, Hooper Bay, Scammon Bay, all from down below, they stop at my father's house. My father welcomes everyone and feeds them without money, whatever he gets from the land and from the ocean. He shared everything what he had without money. He feed the people all that come around. So he had a lot of friends everywhere that come around from even from around here to up north. So at that time when I was growing up, I see those people that they were happy people, really happy. They share everything with each other without money, without asking money. Whatever they catch, they share it with each other. And when they catch, they share with their neighbors in the village. Or if it's from other place, if he's around, he give him some of the catch he has. Share it with that man or a woman. So, right now, as I see it, it's much different. Very different. They want money, some people. And they don't share as they used to long ago, what they catch. These people long ago, they didn't have all the white man's food. They were getting it from the ocean, the food they need, and from the land. And they put away it for the winter. And for their clothing too, the cats, they take care of it good. And they never used to have a license. Nowadays they have to have a license to hunt or from the ocean fish or from the land for the cats, they have to have a license. Now they can't hunt without license. Some people they like to go out hunting, but they don't have a license, they get stuck. That's a sad thing to see that, not like it used to be long ago. How our people long ago were happy without those things to worry about. Only share everything what they have with the others. So I don't know how we're gonna be after 1991. Our children, that were born after 71. And now, people that come from outside, from the streets too, from what I hear, they go out and hunt now without license. I guess they do that. They never used to do that before. I haven't got much to say. All I need is when I was growing up, I wanted to tell you how people were happy at the time. Nothing to worry about anything, about license to hunt. They were free. And this land is ours. And we should use it the right way. And share it with the others. From other places that people come, they hunt any place wherever they go without any license long ago. But now they have to have license, which is not happy sight to see. And we should keep our land clean too, try to keep it clean, and use our food, not waste it too, and share it with the others. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, Judge Berger. My name is June Degnan. I'm the daughter of Frank and Ada Degnan. I'm Second Generation Claims Act. I grew up with the Claims Act. It's been a household word for the Degnan family. I've come home by choice. I've traveled over the world. I've gotten education. I've had a chance and an opportunity to see how the other tan-skinned people of the world are treated. I asked my father while I was acquiring this education, when can I come home? I'm a writer and a poet. I think a lot, and by choice, I'm an Eskimo. Half of me is European. But I am an Eskimo. I believe I am. I'm sovereign. Sovereignty comes from within. You must believe that you are, or you'll never succeed. I am part of you. Look at me. In a sea of white people, I'm a tan woman. When I lived in the lower 48, I represented you, not because I wanted to, but in a sea of white people, I was a tan Eskimo. There are 20,000 of you. I carried you on my back, whether I wanted to or not. Everything I ever did was scrutinized. I lived my life for you. I had to. In a sea of white people, I was a tan woman with black hair. I wondered when could I come home. I couldn't come home only to visit, because I had to get the degrees that are questioned now by the school district. I'm a certified teacher with a certification in gifted, special education, and social studies. I've applied to the Bering Strait School District. I'm one of you, but I haven't been hired as a teacher. I'm a planner for the Unicleed Corporation. That's my second choice. Sovereignty comes from within. If we cannot make our own decisions, then who will make them for us? The answer is we will make them for ourselves. And I've come here by choice because I am one of you. My father spoke to me about it. And I said, when should I come home? He said, you will get your cue when they sell the outer continental shelf leasing rights. The man that I believed in, the man whose campaign I worked on, our own Governor Sheffield, was there with Secretary of Interior Watt, and he sold the leasing rights. I was outside the room in January, and my heart was broken because I knew that was the cue. That was the time to come home, because when they sell the outer continental shelf leasing rights, that means Petrochem is coming here. My education is a corporate structure. I understand it. I grew up in South Florida. It's not Alaska, but that was the only place I could acquire a corporate education. So I'm here. We're going to whip this problem of land ownership through education. Those of us who are educated. There are more like me who are educated, but it's difficult to come home. Because you're rejected when you're in education. My people look at me and say, you're a white woman. I'm a tan woman. I know what I am. So we need to put aside our differences. The time has come to work together. The Claims Act has benefited me. I'm your planner in the corporation. That's a benefit. One of the things I see about the Claims Act, what can be done. We can say a lot of things about the Claims Act. What happened 10 minutes ago is history, and we cannot change that. I cannot change the discrimination that I've suffered since I've been home, more brutal than it has been in any community that I've ever lived in. But it's my home, and that's reality, and that's a fact. But you will judge me on my record. As I continue to work on your land, land is my business and I understand economics. I believe the Claims Act will give us title to the lands we own and we occupy. Once we acquire title to that land, we will need a mechanism to ensure continued ownership to the land. A program of land banking that takes into consideration the subsistence economy that is prevalent in our home is what we need. Since the majority of the people living in this area rely on subsistence for survival, land banking may ensure the ownership of the land will remain with the rightful owners, namely all my people here. The native people here do not anticipate a change in the lifestyle. You and I know that if there's a fossil fuel discovery here, the pulse of the community will change instantaneously. The number of Alaska Natives are small when compared to the numbers in the dominant culture. How will my people survive under the pressure from Petrochem to develop the area? I have seen the ways our government treats impoverished people in the world, for I have seen the ghettos in Caprini Green in Chicago, in Bedford-Stuyvesant, in Harlem, and in Watts. Land ownership is wealth. And only for a stated time are we the owners to the land. If that ownership is questionable, now is the time to notify the federal government that we want a program for land banking. My father died thinking we owned the land, thinking the land was settled. We're not accustomed to small tracts of land. My father said, as far as the eye can see, that's the land we own. I believe that. We understand cultural discrepancy. My people believe the land is theirs, therefore it is their land. And it will take those like me who have an understanding and care for their native culture, who also understand the ways of the government, will make a change. And we will make a determined effort to do that. Whatever happened 10 minutes ago is history. We must look together and do our thing together and work together and remember that we are all people. It's going to take not just the 20,000 Eskimos, not the 70,000 Alaska Natives, but all of us human beings, just as part of me is European. We are all human beings. We are all God's creatures, and the planet Earth is our home. Alaska is a very beautiful place, and I love being here, and I am home to stay. And at this point in time, I would like to offer my services to the Honorable Judge that if at any time I can help, all he needs to do is ask. And thank you for allowing this opportunity for me and my people to express their feelings. I will leave you with a number of poems that I've written. I'm also a writer and a poet. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Judge, my name is Yvonne Saren, a shareholder of Native Village Corporation. Inu Belarusi, Atira Uvanga Angyak Saran, Innatenyaktok Saran, Saren Ngilak. I have prepared a written statement in a rush, and this will not completely cover all what I have in my heart. But this is a summary. What the ANSCA has done is, in effect, forced the natives of Alaska to form into sections, into reservations under the guise of corporations, even though those in power know that natives have no prior knowledge in corporate business. To me, this is just another form of a greater civilization imposing its conquering rules and expecting the native minorities of Alaska to conform to their standards and behavior, knowing full well the traditional habits and spiritual well-being of these people would be adversely affected. History has repeated itself through the actions of conquering forces over the time of the Incas and our fellow brethren, the Indians of the Northwest. And my question is this to my fellow Alaskans. Will we permit, even now that we have a choice of possibly reversing or amending the conditions of ANCSA is available to us now, will we permit those in authority and power over us in legal departments to keep us under subjection through the guise of managing our corporations, though we know full well that we are not technically able to come out of debt before 1991, and knowing that most of our children will be severely limited to the few benefits left to them by us through inheritance. And I have another question. Even if we can constructively criticize the corporate structure of which we are bound to, what assurance do we really have that these complaints, concerns, and opinions will have an impact on those who are decision makers? All through history, we have had our hopes and our cultural rights violated so often and have been trapped into signing more of our natural powers to the Western powers, that we as a people are discouraged and doubtful of ever regaining control of our lives and culture. Open our eyes, teach our young technical know-how, and at least leave us the hope that someday we will be able to handle our own affairs without outside interference. We are a grateful people, trusting and easily deluded. Enlarge our understanding and give us technical and legal knowledge to combat what we need as a people to survive future onslaughts of legislative battles. Permit us to have choices whether or not we live under corporate rules. Permit us to live in a way in which we feel we should, without the feeling of obligations and guilt of neglect in the active roles of corporations. Cause us to fight legal battles without offending each other, because we are all made in the image of God. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Honorable Judge Berger, my name is Rita Jackson. I am representing Shaktulik High School. I am concerned of natives that are born after 1971 not being eligible for ANSCA. I have a 7-year-old sister who has no stocks and no land because she is only 7 years old. I also do not own land, but I own stocks in the Shaktulik Native Corporation. I would wish my 7-year-old sister to be equally eligible as I have been in ANSCA. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honor, my fellow Alaskans, my name is Rose Tawarak. I am originally from the Chelista region, but I have lived here in Unalakleet for the last 10 years, and I have grown to love the people and the region as my home. The Alaska Native Land Claims Act, what is it? That seems to be a common question now that the excitement of 1971 is over and the complexities of 1991 are approaching. We have heard the overwhelming common concern of everyone who testified, the fears of losing our land, our rights, our freedom, and most of all, our culture. At this point, I cannot help but feel sad for the gradual but inevitable changes the Claims Act has accelerated. We all have seen the good and the negative effects of it on our people and our culture. But as someone earlier pointed out, we are a surviving and also an adaptable people. We have seen it in our ancestors. I feel we as Alaskans have an advantage dealing with the issues of 1991 because of our culture and because of our heritage. It is up to us to use the knowledge and guidance of our elders and incorporate them to the present day and future changes to meet the needs of all of us concerned. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
My name is Polly Kauchuk. When the ANSCA Act was passed back in 1971, it is to my understanding today that our subsistence rights were extinguished at that time also. To extinguish our subsistence rights is extinguishing our way of life. We, the native peoples of Alaska, depend on the land for our food, clothing, and shelter. Our ancestors were people who didn't have any restrictions concerning the land and its resources. They took from the land only what they needed, and they used all without wasting. Today I hear of the white man killing only for sport, neglecting to see the importance of only taking what you need and putting it to good use. I feel we need to be given our rights back. They were unconstitutionally taken away from us in the first place. When you took our rights away, it was like annihilating the people, because the people is the land. Another concern of mine is a stock that was given to the native people when INGSA was passed. When we were issued stock, it was like putting a number on us. We are not cattle. It was like we were branded. We are a people. We have feelings too, like the white man, and yet we were treated like we did not. To have a policy stating that the stock can be sold after 1991 is like saying it's okay to sell yourself and your way of life. Our people are not like that. Before the white man came, we did not have what seems so important in this world today called money. We didn't go up to a moose and say to it, I'll give you so much for your meat and fur. There was no such thing as money in my ancestors' days. So my advice to people today who are thinking of selling their stock after 1991, please realize and understand that if you sell your stock, you are selling your way of life. The money will be gone just like that, but our land and its resources will always be there. Another concern of mine is regarding the elders of our communities. I have tremendous respect for the elders of my community. I listen to them, for they contain wisdom. They know the land and how to use it. They are teachers of medicine, ecology, marine biology, meteorology, etc. The one thing that differentiates them from the white man is in those professions is that they don't have a piece of paper saying that they have that knowledge. The knowledge inside of them was already there, because we are a people of adaptability. We flow with the land and its harsh but soft changes. I strongly feel we need to utilize that respect of which we have for our elders with more impact on listening to what they have to say concerning the people in the land, and not only consider what they have to say, but live it. Action speaks louder than words. We need to start living upon the foundations our elders planted for us with courage, respect, and dignity, for we are our proud people in our own way. Sovereignty is another concern of mine. How firm we stand and plant our feet upon our land determines the strength of our children's heartbeats. I strongly feel self-government will not only help us as a people keep our land and our way of life, but that it will. I endorse with a strong conviction within myself a proposal of shifting the present governments, the corporations, to another entity, the IRA councils. Let us then strive endlessly with courage and integrity towards the destiny of the people, sovereignty. It will not only keep us from annihilation, but it will also help preserve what we have. I, as an individual, always feel deep within myself the urge to live a traditional way of life, the way of my ancestors. I feel I could speak my native tongue, but I was raised speaking the adopted tongue of my people, English. I feel I could dance to the songs of my people, but they were abolished when the white man came to our land. I feel I could heal the sick one the way it was done by my ancestors, but the white man not only came with their medicine, but with diseases. What I'm trying to say and emphasize is I am one in modern day attempting to live a double life, and from that my life is filled with confusion. I have a wanting deep within myself to live the life of my ancestors, but the modernized world I was raised in is restricting me from doing so. First the white man came and abolished our song and dance, then they took control over our land and its resources, and they shoved us into a life totally unknown to us, expecting us to conform to it regardless of our knowledge of that life. Although I feel bitterness and animosity, I would like to attempt to bring back what was taken from us as a people. From that, I can only promise you my best efforts. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, Well, we've had a very good 2 days of meetings. I want to thank you all for participating. But is there anyone else who would like to say something?
Well, this is Nick Riley from Unity. I'm very thankful that everybody came here and talk about land claim settlement, which we never had when we were young. Now, one time here in Unity, I was delivering fish, and there were three old ladies and three white men. And these three old ladies talked their language, and the white man talked their language. And then after the old ladies get through, the white man asked me what they're talking about. I told him, "You're no good." "What?" I said, "You fellas are looking for money." and then I told my joke. Well, concerning about our leader, Frank A. Dignan, I work with him just about 20 years. Now all this time, he had in and out doubts, but we came through all the little hardships we get. And only one time, we tell Mr. Foster to come here, he was ANS, and talk with us, and then so we can let him know what we want. Well, after he got here, we asked him for $15,000 just to start a little store. So we talked about it for an hour and a half, I guess, and Foster said, "Well, you people didn't convince me yet." And Frank didn't got it right away. "Oh, we can get the loan from maybe Russia, Japan, and all the other nationalities. If we can't get it from our own country," I said, "that's about it." "I think we can ask those people to give us $15,000. Well, anyway, our want was approved. You know, when you work with community as a leader, you met everybody with two thinking, one along with you, one against you, and it's a poor thing. Now, as native of Alaska, we should join hands and be glad about these things, what we're talking about. Our country is beautiful. No snakes. You can sleep out there in the country. Fresh water every place you go. That's one beauty of it. So I want to thank every one of you that came over here. Come again sometime. Thank you."
Well, I want to thank you all for coming, and I want to thank each of you for presentations that you made. They were, I think, very well thought out and well informed. I think that it refutes the idea that people in Village Alaska don't know what's going on. I think you showed that you do know what's going on and you want to do something about it. And I certainly learned a lot about your attitudes and about the views you hold about what ought to be done. I appreciated, too, the elders speaking and telling me something about the history of this region, and I think it was also fitting that that tribute should have been paid to Frank Dignan, about whom I have heard much. in the months that I've been traveling in Alaska. I will be leaving here now, and we will be going to the Nana region next month to hold hearings in the villages there. And we'll go on from there to Bristol Bay, and then we'll go back to the Chalista region to complete our hearings early in the new year. And as I told you, I will send you my report when it is ready in the summer of 1985. I hope it will be useful to Alaska Natives, and I hope it will be useful to Native people in other countries. The evidence that each of you gives helps me to put the picture together piece by piece, and so it was very helpful to me. So I want to thank you all for coming, and I want to thank the people of Unalakleet and those who came from Koyuk, Shaktulik, St. Michael, and Stebbins as well. And it's been a good meeting, and thank you all, and I declare the meeting adjourned. Glad that we came here, and glad you brought all the folks over from St. Michael.
Yeah, well, I think from their standpoint, it was also very good. Yeah. Because outside of how we present ourselves, it's really a new thing for us to be doing as a delegation.
Yeah.
They were also, it was not only their testimonies, they were exposed to a lot of other testimonies, which reflects their own thing.
And this is, you know, we managed to hear from ordinary people, the rank and file, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And I think it shows that ordinary people, if you challenge them, they start thinking pretty hard and coming up with ideas.
So, it takes the ivory tower.
Yeah, nice to see you, sir. Thank you for coming.
We got a plane scheduled for 6 o'clock.
Are some of the things unnamed?
Those two, I don't know. There were two towards the end.
Okay.
After 6 o'clock.